All right. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. All right. Pray the snow stops. We'd like to start a 3-week series on praying with recipients of the Holy Ghost. Praying with recipients of the Holy Ghost. If you'll turn in your Bible, Acts chapter 8. We're going to read verse 14 through 17. Acts 8, 14 through 17. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. You can be seated. So I want to talk about the do's and don'ts of praying folks through the Holy Ghost. This can be exciting. So prepare yourself. Put yourself in your pew belts and strap yourself in. In Acts 8, there was a great persecution against the church at Jerusalem. And persecution caused the church to scatter throughout the various regions. And these were courageous men and women who continued to preach the word everywhere. There was a man by the name of Philip who went to Samaria and he preached Christ to the people. And the people listened. The people watched the miracles unfold. But between hearing the word of God and having faith build up in the heart and experience the actual miracles, people were delivered of demonic unclean spirits. They cried out with these loud, ugly voices, shrieking voices, and people were healed of palsies and lame ailments and all these kind of things. And it was awesome. It was a fantastic demonstration of the power of God. Then all of a sudden, there was a monkey wrench was thrown into the mix by the name of a man named Simon, known as Simon the Sorcerer. Simon bewitched the people into thinking that he was some great person. But the preaching of Philip in the name of Jesus Christ, folks, is more powerful than any bewitched person. And the people believed, the Bible says, and the people were baptized. So believe it or not, Simon also himself believed and was baptized, and he continued with Philip in watching the miracles unfold. It becomes obvious that Simon himself did not fully repent, because when he saw the people receiving the Holy Ghost by laying on of hands, he immediately began to calculate in terms of finance and said, man, I can make some money here. So this was displeasing to the Lord. There is nothing wrong with the ministry living off the gospel, but it should never be turned into a money profiteering business with financial gain as the focus. Simon wanted to find a way to make money, and he saw the ability to give people the Holy Ghost, and he was perceived. It was, he thought, well, this is a means to make money and make myself rich. So what, we need to look at what happened in Acts 14, verse 18 through 24. It says, and when Simon saw that though laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps that thou, the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come unto me. So if Simon was true and genuine in what he said, if he had a genuine repentance, a repented experience right here, then God certainly did forgive him. But not enough details given, so God only knows whether he was forgiven or not. But we have just learned, folks, the first lesson that here in this series, that it is something not to do. We have just learned that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and praying with people to receive it should never become a money machine. So we are not talking about people paying their tithes and giving regular offerings here, but we are talking about a person's motive being trying to become filthy rich off the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is an insult, it's a slap in the face of God. Now, it would grieve the heart of God to think that when he is providing a person with the Holy Ghost, that it would be cheapened and perverted to think that he can pay for it. We need to guard our own hearts and guard the body of Christ against money mongering. But in praying for people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is the wrong thinking that will result in wrong results. One minister was praying with a man to receive the Holy Ghost. He's trying to give him some tips on how to pray properly. And all of a sudden, this man stopped and lowered his hands and said to the minister, "I have prayed for the Holy Ghost for several years. I know how to pray for it." Never received it, but he knows how to pray for it. You see, the wrong thinking kept producing the same result. No Holy Ghost. So probably in all these years that he's praying, he thinks, "I'll pray, I'll do my thing, but I probably won't get it." He got the results of his thinking. A great lesson here is that a person must be pliable in the hands of God and also must be teachable. Amen? If you want to receive the Holy Ghost and you've been seeking for it, you need to listen and somebody can help you to receive the Holy Ghost. You see, God works with teachable people. God uses teachable people. And God gives teachable people the Holy Ghost. One of the things about today, in this day and age that we live, people are not very teachable. Come on. In the workplace or even here in the church sometimes, you tell somebody you need to do this, this, and this, and they never listen. Oh, yeah, but they're not listening. Right? So what are some common misconceptions about praying people through the Holy Ghost? Let's look at a few here tonight. Number one, if they don't receive the Holy Ghost, God was not ready to give it to them. That's a misconception. Somebody didn't get the Holy Ghost? Well, it's because God's not ready to give it to them. You see, the Holy Ghost has been continually poured out since the day of Pentecost. Everyone who has responded correctly has become a recipient. And 2 Peter tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One of the reasons that people do not receive the Holy Ghost is because they have not completely died out to self yet. Amen? You know, I think sometimes they're probably as they're seeking, "Well, if I get this Holy Ghost and I get saved, then I can't do this and I can't do that." Right? Another misconception, let's look at it. Number two, a person must be in a certain physical position to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, such a statement such as "you must be in church building" or "you must be on your knees to receive the Holy Ghost," it's not correct. People have received the Holy Ghost in their homes, in their cars, at school, at work, and other places, in addition to church. My pastor told a story about a young lady who was riding her bike through a park up in Toledo and was praying and received the Holy Ghost riding her bike. You can receive it anywhere. Amen? Sister Peggy used to come here. She was praying on a Sunday morning when we was in the storefront and left and was frustrated, pulled over at Walmart parking lot and said, I'm not leaving God till you fill me. And God filled her with the Holy Ghost in the parking lot. You can get it anywhere. Amen. All you got to do is say, hey, I want it. Amen. It's mine. It's a promise. I'll take the promise. Another misconception is the idea that a good rub down helps. Right? Folks, the truth is, too many hands on the person can become only a distraction. Amen? We've all seen it. Oh, God, bless them right now. I just knocked all this water down here. Not a misconception that it's wet up here. But while there is power in laying on of hands, there is nothing in the Bible that says our hands should remain on the person the entire time they are praying. Doesn't say that. Amen? Hands need to be placed in appropriate places, such as the forehead, the shoulder, or the hands, or the arm. And men need to take special caution about touching a woman when she is praying. The best place for a man to pray for a woman, and vice versa, okay? Women praying for men is on the forehead, okay? But I think that's a good place for the minister to lay hands on a shoulder. But again, it does not have to stay there. Thank you. All right. There was one brother, one minister. He would not touch anyone until they was ready for a person to receive. He, at that point, would put his hands on his on the forehead firmly and would pray for the seeker till they spoke in tongues and the Spirit gave them the utterance. So a good place if you want to lay hands on someone is on their shoulder or something like that. But again, just do it quickly. Amen. And if there's other people around there, maybe just you can stand back. You don't have to touch. Not everybody has to touch. Okay? Because think about it. As they're trying to pray, and they're like, now who's touching me? Okay? Now who's rubbing my back? And it takes their focus off. Okay? We can come up behind and just say, God. And I think they need to hear us praying and have the faith of God around them. But you don't have to be putting your hands all over them. All right? And a lot of times the best person to do that is who's ever speaking. Because it was the faith that they received while hearing the word of God come forth that brought them to the altar. Amen? And so we can come up behind them. We can pray and ask God and believe. Amen? You can raise your hands as you're praying. And then when it's time when that speaker can come by and lay hands on them. Or if it's not the pastor that's speaking, he could come by. But that is the best theory because we want them to keep their focus on what they came for. And we can all probably think of those times. Okay? You know, one of the things that I've, when you go to conferences, you got those over-energetic, you know, and they're up there. They're looking for somebody to just lay hands on, you know, like that wrestler with the palm pearl purple. And I have found myself sneaking between people that come to my church and say, you ain't touching them. Okay? We have to be very careful. We want them there for a reason, and that is to, with their thoughts on God, not who's touching them or who's yelling in their ear. Okay? We can stand back and pray. Let someone who's up in here in charge speak to them and help them to understand. Now, if there's not anybody, then you jump in there, but you need to make sure that there's not somebody on the other side, one saying let go and the other one saying hang on. Right? We don't need that. That's confusion. Okay? And again, I want us to pray for people. I want you to understand your prayer means something. But again, we need to keep in just the thought of what this person is going through when there's 15 people touching them, and someone's yelling in this ear, and someone's yelling in that ear, and the pastor's in their face, or whoever's up here speaking's in their face. Okay? That makes sense? Another common misconception is this. I did not see them cry. Well, crying in and of itself does not mean repentance, right? Although it can include crying, it's a good thing to cry, but it does not have to include crying. God is interested, folks, in change, not tears alone. Amen? God would rather see a changed life without tears than tears without changed life. Repentance is a change of heart. No one can receive the Holy Ghost without genuine repentance. Amen? Now, if they are receiving the Holy Ghost, then that means that they are repented whether or not you saw them or not. Some people come to our services and they're ready to be filled. You say, well, why is that? Well, because they have been repenting for days in their home, maybe in their cars or schools, wherever they're at. They've been talking to God. God, I need you. I need a change. You know, I'm tired of living this way. They may have already walked through the door, repented. So just because you didn't see them cry doesn't mean they're not repented. Another misconception is this. Well, they got the Holy Ghost too easy. It should take longer than that. Repentance is a type of death. So how long does it take for someone to die? Some seekers who are praying with, that we are praying with, have not repented, and therefore it will take them a long time until they do, in fact, repent. And one of the things, if you're praying with somebody, and again, we don't want 15 people doing it, but you could stop somebody and say, have you repented? You see, when we pray for somebody, I've been to churches where I've seen they line them up, and they don't even ask people what they want, why they come to the altar. They start going down the line, praying for them. We need to know what we're praying for. If somebody comes to that altar, they may have the Holy Ghost. And you're praying, oh, I've heard this. Oh, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And I know the person has it. We need to understand, you came to the altar. Do you have a need? Oh, I'd like to get the Holy Ghost. Well, have you repented? Okay? We need to know why. And sometimes we think, well, if I bother them, it'll mess up with the Holy Ghost. No, you need to know why you're praying for somebody. So you can help them focus on that need and what they need to do. Explain to them. They don't know. Well, first thing you need to do, if you want the Holy Ghost, you got to repent of your sins. Have you done that? And maybe you need to explain it to them. But others who have repented before they came to church will receive the Holy Ghost very readily. So it can happen. They may have been in that repentant state for days. You know, some people, you know, I ask God, Lord, lead me to people that have been seeking you. Right? Somebody that's seeking you. God, there's got to be somebody out there. God, if you're real, send somebody to me. Well, here, God, tell me where to go. Another misconception is the idea that the seeker should tell us when he gets the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, you may have heard it said, even by some who are well-respected, it may say something like this, we should not tell them they have received the Holy Ghost, even when we hear them speak with tongues. Well, the truth is that we've been around the Holy Ghost for a long time, some of us maybe all of our lives. But folks, understand this, the seeker has not. And this whole thing is brand new to them, probably, in a lot of cases. Peter told the house of Cornelius that they had received the Holy Ghost in Acts 10. The receivers are so focused on worshiping God and his glorious presence, many times they don't even realize what has happened to them. Seekers feel different when the Holy Ghost comes over them, right? They probably never felt this. You ever pray for somebody and the Holy Ghost is touching them and they get nervous and shake and what's going on? They may have never felt this. They feel different. They feel wonderful and like they have never ever felt in their entire lives. But it's all brand new to them. They need direction. So a good question to ask the seeker, do you hear yourself speak with something you didn't understand? Now, most of the time they will answer something like this: I don't know what I was saying. See, one of the things that I like to do, even before you get to this point, is sometimes when somebody says they want the Holy Ghost, they'll say, well, you know what it says in the book of Acts? When you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak a different language. I want them to know that this can happen if they're going to get the Holy Ghost, because this is what takes place. And you're not going to understand it. So sometimes when, you know, some people have been, over the years that I've pastored, I've seen people that have been abused. And I'm not talking about church, I'm talking about just how they grew up in situations and things of that nature. And some people, when they've been abused, they get to a place where nobody is ever going to make me cry again. Nobody. I'm going to be in control of my facilities. Come on. So we need to help them to understand when we talk to them about when you receive the Holy Ghost, you have to yield to God. And he's going to take control of something. It's the tongue. So when you're praying, when you feel that, that God is trying to take control, you need to release that to God. You need to trust in him. Because God will never hurt you. So these are kind of things that you can talk to people about if you're doing a Bible study. You can tell somebody that kind of stuff. Prepare them for when they come to church and they come to the altar. But if somebody has received the Holy Ghost and you ask them if they have spoken something they didn't understand, they may say, well, I don't know what I was saying. The book of Acts says when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in a different tongue. Does it not? So we can ask, how do you feel? When they say something in the effect of, well, I feel different, yet feeling different is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But speaking in tongues is the evidence, right? If we hear a seeker speak with tongues, then we have a biblical right to tell them that they have received the Holy Ghost. But here's one thing I also say, but you must claim it. Okay? They have to claim it. You tell them what the Bible says. The book of Acts says when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in a different language, a heavenly language that you don't understand, but you got to claim it. You believe the Word of God? Did this happen to you? Yes? Then you need to claim it. And this will give them the confidence, folks. They need the confidence that they need to know that they have not wasted their time, they have not wasted their energy, and there will not be any confusion. Because the devil's going to speak to them when they leave. You didn't really get it. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. We need to help them be reassured. Amen? Once a person has spoken tongues for the very first time, and they now understand what they have received, then we should encourage them with such words as, now that you have received the Holy Ghost, let God speak through you some more. And when then should they pray and speak in more tongues? Okay, one of the things I like to tell people is when you were a child, you didn't just all of a sudden one day get up and speak fluently. Right? It took you some time. It's the same way with praying with the Lord every day. You just keep on and you'll get better at it. And we all know that. Amen? And they just need to learn that you need to try. You need to pray through every day. Some Christians will disagree with this philosophy, but it is the best way to help a seeker get as much of the Holy Ghost as possible. You need to do this daily. Okay? And another thing I like to explain is Paul talks about it. He says, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. Another thing it is our rest. Your mind goes all the time. Anybody here dream? Dream at night? It's because your mind's going. It's always. But when you're speaking in tongues and you don't understand what you're saying, that is God in control. And that is the time you rest. Your mind is resting. That is our rest. You see, God had the Sabbath. Now it's every day. Okay? It is our daily rest. So another misconception is when we hear somebody say they did not speak in tongues enough. While a person cannot speak in tongues too much when it comes to the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, the scripture simply tells us that they spoke with other tongues. But it does not say for how long. It does not say how many different languages they spoke. It just says they spoke in tongues. And we all have upped our prayer language through our walk with God. But some people seem to speak in many different languages, yet many only speak in one language. Yet develop more in time. I've heard people say they prayed and it sounded like the same tongues for years, and one day they prayed differently. And those kind of things, I'm sure God can do whatever he wants. Okay? I'm tired of hearing you pray in this. I want you to pray in this. Okay? So that's between them and God. The bottom line is, for the first time seeker, it is no matter if he is a few words, a phrase, or whatever. If a person speaks in an unknown tongue for hours, the point is they have received the Holy Ghost. If they did it for a few minutes, if they did it for hours, they received the Holy Ghost. So that is the main thing. And the main thing is to keep the main thing, right? We want them to get the Holy Ghost. We would all love a seeker to speak for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. But it doesn't have to be. But we don't have the scripture that says a person needs to speak in tongues for any length of time. Make it genuine. Now, that may assure us, but God knows better than anybody. So God knows whether they received it. The kingdom of God is not just about self-service. It is about serving others, serving our Creator, Jesus Christ. So it's about serving, folks. We need to serve people. We need to help people. And whatever it is that we can help people with, get the Holy Ghost, we need to do that. Let me just read a few of these little things here. In New York City, a mailman shot by a sniper is ordered from a building lobby because he is dripping blood. In Oklahoma City, a woman gave birth unexpectedly on a city sidewalk. Bystanders turn their faces. A taxi driver looks and speeds away. A nearby hotel refuses a blanket. In Dayton, Ohio, a dozen people see a woman drive her car into the Miami River. They watch indifferently as the woman climbs on the car's roof and screams that she can't swim, and the woman drowns. You see, well, why'd you read them? Well, so many incidents like this have happened that the paper Chicago Sun-Times Library now has a special file tabbed apathy. Apathy. You see, when it comes to people, helping people receive the Holy Ghost, let's not allow ourselves to become apathetic. Okay? When we see somebody in need, be there to help them. Okay? We don't want to be apathetic. We want to help people to know this Jesus that we know. Okay? And we want to introduce them to something that will change their life forever. Amen? Let's stand. Thank you for being here tonight. We will pick this up next week. Amen. I want to see people receive the Holy Ghost. And if there's anything that I can find that will help me to help people receive the Holy Ghost, I want to know about it. Amen. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. And we ask you to just bless each one here tonight. Bless us to our homes, we pray. Help us to take this with us and apply it to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.